Welcome to the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by the FTN Network, breaking down NFL action with the info you need to crush your fantasy leagues.
Welcome back to the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. Y'all know who it is. It's your boy, Ray G. You can find me on Twitter at Ray GQ. And I am joined by my man, Josh Larkey. You can find him on Twitter at JLarkeyTweets. That's JLarkeyTweets. And this is episode 7. Josh, I don't know if you've been paying attention, but apparently people are concerned because Christian Watson is dropping passes left and right. Najee Harris is 244 pounds. And we're in this weird space, Josh, where like nothing is going on in football. I mean, these guys are practicing in shorts and a helmet, and overreaction city is here with the player take. So I think in this episode, we're going to tone down the individual player takes, give everyone a little breather from that, and dive into some cool stuff tonight. So I'm excited. I think this is going to be an excellent episode. I think it's going to be really fun. I'm just excited to talk to you after being off for a week, my friend.
Yeah, it's been a week. We're back. We've got our usual Tuesday night recording, so this will be out for the people Wednesday morning. And before we dive into today's episode, just so everyone knows, coming out on Monday, June 6th, will be my best ball guide on FTN. So all you FTN fantasy subs out there, you will be rewarded with over 200 player profiles where I write up all the players in the order of my rankings. So I'm going off of the Underdog Fantasy Best Ball ADP because Underdog's generally the best place for best ball. Promo code FTN, by the way, if you're a new user. So anyway, with this best ball guide, not only do you get the top 200 players ranked based on how I view them, but also I have full 1-2 paragraph write-ups for every single player, full stat projections for every single player, projected spike weeks for how many times I think this running back is probably going to hit 10 fantasy points, how many times I think they're going to hit 15 or 20. You get all that information. You get the teams that I'm targeting and the stacks to target. You're going to get my analysis on roster construction. What type of roster construction builds should you target? Should you avoid? What are the win rates historically? Why do I think that is? I don't think there's anything even close to this on the market. It's what I've been doing for the past month. Been doing about 40 hours a week, pretty much exclusively on this best ball guide, and couldn't be more excited. The graphics team has been hard at work as well. So if you want to become an FTN fantasy sub, you should do it. And you can use promo code Larkey, LARKY. Promo code Larkey, you get 20% off when you subscribe to FTN fantasy. You have to do it. Now's the time. The price just keeps going up. So if you want to lock in that low price, promo code Larkey, you'll get the best ball guide next week. And it's going to be a treat because, like I said, there's nothing else like it. Anytime there's something new, I think it's interesting. And then also, you get my thought process. And I think it's always very important. I've talked many times about how I'm not a rankings guy. I'm kind of anti just, here's my rankings, and then that's all. It's conversation over. Because they always need context. So that's why I'm like, hey, I know ADP changes over the summer. I know that things will happen. However, if you understand the thought process of who I'm targeting and fading, that just makes you more aware of how you can logically think through all these player takes and team takes.
Yeah. Did you want me to respond? I mean, it's goodness, Larkey. You are the best ball messiah. You're the best ball guru. So make sure y'all are tapped in. You said that drops on Monday, right? You said next Monday?
Yep, Monday the 6th.
Next Monday the 6th? Yeah, that's going to be a good piece. I'm interested, man. And I know I've told you before, Dynasty Best Ball, Larkey, we love Dynasty and you love Best Ball. Like, I think there's some unique strategy thinking long-term Best Ball Dynasty, right? Players that so far people don't like at all, but like Tyquan Thornton, nobody wants Tyquan Thornton. They think the Patriots overdrafted him. Best Ball, especially Dynasty, off waivers, rookie, maybe the future. We're not going to talk Tyquan Thornton tonight for anybody out there listening. But yeah, make sure you tap in to Larkey's best ball guide that drops. I mean, that's your lane, man. You're dope at that. So I'm excited to check that out, Larkey. And I'm sure everybody else will get a lot of value out of that as well, man.
So I'm going to put you on the spot right now. You don't even know this is coming. give us, see, you mentioned Tyquan Thornton. Give the people one more. If they're in a dynasty best ball league or they want to join them, who are you looking at right now? Who's the guy that you're either scooping off waivers or you're aggressively trading for, where you're like, I want those spike weeks and people don't appreciate this player?
I mean, I think Thornton is one. Tyquan Thornton is one, you know, for those spike weeks. And who knows? Like, you know, it's funny because we talked about it before show. And we talked about this two episodes ago. We are horrible at projecting players and what they're going to do outside of like the studs, but we're really good with teams. And I just think that when the community is so in lockstep against a player, that's exactly the player that I want to be acquiring. But I think Thornton, Tyquan Thornton is one in best ball, like off of waivers. He's free that I like. And then I did a show, did a guest appearance with a friend of ours, Matt Kelly. And I've been talking about a player like Tyrion Davis Price is somebody that I'm very interested in. And even a Snoop Connor in a deep dynasty best ball league, bad offense, not a lot of running back. Didn't we just talk about avoiding bad offenses? And here I go targeting a Jacksonville Jaguar. But Snoop listen, Connor. Snoop Connor, goal line back, power back, touchdown upside in a deep dynasty best ball team roster league. Snoop Connor is somebody that I've got some interest in. So just you put me on the spot. I didn't have that shit loaded up, Larky. And you're going to be double pissed at me because for those of y'all, if you want to peek behind the curtain, this is the fun thing about this. Larky and I, we're fun people, right? I'm looking at Larky. He's got a pink shirt on tonight. He's a fun guy. He's got a nice beard. But the whole segment that I talked about your best ball guy that drops on Monday, I was on mute locally, so you won't even hear that in post-pro, Larky. So I'm just going to let you know. I was muted during that segment, so you'll have to use the backup audio on that. So my bad, man.
You know what? This is why we Zoom audio, folks. So you, all right. I think we've had enough of Ray's late round dynasty best ball takes. Snoop Connor, Tyquan Thornton. Today's episode is actually
don't draft those players. Dear God, don't draft either of them.
Today's episode is going to be NFL win totals, and Ray alluded to it before. We're just not very good at player takes. I think Ray and I are better than the average person at player takes because we each have our own tried and true methods for evaluating players. But most of our misses are actually going to be player takes. They're not going to be offenses. And I think that's why we can talk some win totals today. Offenses that we like, kind of what has shifted in the landscape among these divisions. And some of the divisions have been pretty active. And I think it's really fun because I've done a lot of win total research recently, and that's a big part of my best ball guide is trying to figure out which offenses I'm targeting, who I like this year. Ray said that he has not done too much perusing on this right now. So we're going to have Ray start each division off where he's going to say, I think this is the division winner. We're going to consult the win totals, and then we'll talk about which teams we think are going to go over or under. Keep it pretty simple. I think it's very helpful for this time of year as we transition from dynasty to the redraft and best ball season. So if you're ready, we can just kick this one off.
Let's get it, man.
All right, we're starting in the NFC. Let's do the NFC North. Ray, who do you think is favored in the NFC North?
It's got to be Green Bay, man. Aaron Rodgers has got to be the Packers, man. It's got to be.
It is indeed. So let's start off with the Packers. Their win total is 11.5. They've won 13 games the last 3 years, if I remember correctly. The first team ever to have 13 wins in three straight seasons. I think they suffered a little bit this offseason. No more Adams. Where are you at with the Packers? 11.5.
I think they claw their way. Defensively, they'll be solid. Jair Alexander back healthy. They invested heavy draft capital on the defensive side of the ball. And in a division where, you know, really it's the Vikings and they're sort of, I don't want to say rebuild and retool, not with Kirk Cousins, but I don't think that they're going to pose too much of a threat to Green Bay. So they're going to win the division, but 12 wins, I don't think so. I'm taking the under on 11.5.
All right. I talked about them recently. I took the over, but I that was not one I felt good about. I said they'd win 12, but it was not one of my like eight high conviction bets. I actually don't think this is a necessarily a team where you want to target the pass catchers. in fantasy. I think a lot of people are like, oh, look at the value of Alan Lazard. He could be the wide receiver one. Look at the value of Christian Watson. He could be the receiver one. At the end of the day, this to me, like you said, they retooled this defense looks fucking sick. The Packers could very well have the number one defense in the NFL. Yeah. I don't think that's a hot take. This could be a team where they extend Aaron Rodgers and they're grinding out low-scoring victories with the defense and the run game. Lazard, Christian Watson, Robert Tonyan, who's coming off the ACL tear. Randall Cobb, Sammy Watkins. I can't get excited about this team. Yeah. So in a lot of my early best ball drafts, I'm just not even stacking that many Packers. I think just in general, the players to target here, I kind of like the running backs. I think there's going to be a lot of pass game work, just a lot of rush attempts for both of them. And that's kind of all I have to say about that is still not a very strong division. So are you kind of with me as well? Like if you're targeting Packers, like I want Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon this year. And the other guys, it's hard to get excited.
I want Aaron Jones. I want AJ Dillon. I am a little more bullish on Alan Lazard than you are. And it's just, you know, the law of the conservation of targets, man. Aaron Rodgers is still Aaron Rodgers, and he's going to throw the ball. Like, he's not going to not throw the ball. And there has been a level of consistency. You know what? Let me tell you what's going to happen with Alan Lazard this year, Larky. I think there's a good chance that he goes out there and posts just a monster season by Alan Lazard numbers. 1,000 yards, you know, 8 touchdowns. Just, wow, Alan Lazard blew up. And then he fades into oblivion. Like, that's his one. Like, if there's going to be an Alan Lazard breakout and then flame out, the perfect quintessential pump and dump player is Alan Lazard in 2022. Like, he should have the best statistical season of his career, and it literally may be it. Like, this might be the Alan Lazard year. And let me tell you what you do in Dynasty or even in redraft, right? Like, where some leagues where you can trade, whatever. Like, I'd be moving him before the trade deadline. Like, if he looks good to start out, like, I'm cashing out, man. Like, I'm cashing out. Dynasty, I think you could probably, if he smashes early, I think you might be able to get like a 24 first rounder from him, from a fish in your league. And I would just go to sleep with the biggest smile on my face. Like the Joker from Batman, where he like carved a smile on his face. Like, let me put a smile on my own face if I can trade Alan Lazard for 24 first. But I think he's in for a big season, and at his cost, Larky, I'm fine with Lazard. So long way of saying, I want 3, you want 2. I'm fine with Lazard this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I had to choose a pass catcher, it's Lazard. I think Watson's just too raw still. Like, I respect the draft capital long term that they're going to want to use him, but at least this year, he just looks like MVS. And I think as a rookie, he's going to be that raw. So, All right, we'll move on to the Vikings. So the Vikings are at 8.5. Where are you at with this one? I think that's a really good line because I actually don't have a strong take either way on this one.
I think they said it just right, man. 8-9 wins. That's what they're like. They're going to have 8 or 9 wins. That's what they're going to do. And we're assuming health, right? Justin Jefferson, Kirk Cousins, Dalvin Cook, Irv Smith coming back. 17-game schedule. Win around half of their games. They'll be right there. This will be a sweat of all sweats. It will come down to week 17 for the Vikings. It's going to come down to
you can't say that. Are you going over under? What is this waffling? It's going to come down to, so they're 8-8 heading into week 17.
They get it done. They go over.
Yeah, I think I would lean over. So they have Kevin O'Connell as the new head coach there. I think his background was with the Rams, if I remember correctly. There's been talk they'll be a little pass heavier. I just think it's an offense to invest in because I still don't think this is the Vikings defense of old. We saw it break down last year. I think they're going to have to pass a good amount. Dalvin Cook's getting up there in age, and it's just so consolidated.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Jefferson in the first round. I think you could, if you wanted to, make a case he's the 101 in redraft, but you can get him kind of in the middle of the first round. I think he could just absolutely smash. Thielen looks like a great value where you're just buying this amazing injury discount. So I think this is a good offense to invest in. Very consolidated. We'll go 9 wins.
All right. There we go.
All right, next up, let's go to the Lions in this division. So the Detroit Lions are at 6.5. They made a lot of moves this offseason. They traded up for Jameson Williams. They signed DJ Shark. They're getting Swift healthy again. They're getting Hawkinson healthy. They extended Josh Reynolds or signed Josh Reynolds. Josh Reynolds is on the team again. Khalif Raymond, he's on the team again. Amon-Ra St. Brown, the surprise rookie from last year, he's going to be a starting receiver. It's a pretty good offense on paper. Very good O-line. Probably still a terrible defense. Where are you at in the 6.5?
I'm over. And I think I've said it, and I'm sticking to it. I think they're a sneaky team to be like, to push for a wild card spot. I'm not going to say they're going to be the Cincinnati Bengals this year, but a good offensive line, better weapons, Swift. I know people don't like Goff, but I'm going to take the over on the Lions. And I know that's an unpopular opinion, but I put a decent amount of money on their win total this year. I think they're going to be a lot better than people expected. They played well. Especially towards the back half of the season. I think Dan Campbell has them on the right track. So just to stick with my narrative, push for a wild card spot. You got to get 7-8 wins to get there. So I think I like the over, and I like this line at 6.5.
Yeah, I would take the over on this one too. I think it's just, damn. I don't think you want to bet against a very strong offensive line, a competent enough quarterback, and then just an absolute treasure trove of weapons.
Yep.
I think it's a top five O-line and top 10 skill position players with a quarterback that a lot of people hate, Jared Goff. He was very, very serviceable for the Rams for multiple seasons. And I mean, I feel like he struggled when the offensive line struggled, when they lost some of their skill players. But at least on day one, this is a scary offense. And I think you want to target them in fantasy. They're in a dome. Still a terrible, terrible defense on paper. Mm-hmm. So it looks to me like this is an up-and-coming team that you want a part of.
Yep, I'm with you.
All right, this one. All right, I'm actually a little surprised personally that they are also at 6.5. The Chicago Bears.
Can you see my hand?
I see where you're pointing.
Under. I think this. If you ask me. Like, who do you think the bottom three teams in the NFL will be this year? Chicago's probably at the top of the list. I have little to no confidence in the Chicago Bears this year. I'm taking the under on that 6.5 line.
Yeah, so I released my win total predictions on Twitter last week, and I had a bucket for 5 or fewer wins, and I put them in there.
Yep.
So this feels like a smash. I think they're going to win 4 or 5 games. This is a dreadful offense, and I don't know. I think individually, if we're going to go micro takes for a second, instead of the macro big picture, I think Mooney's going to get a ton of targets. I think Kmet's going to get a ton of targets. I think they're both going to be good at ADP. Fields is mobile. Maybe he's fine. But in general, like if there's an offense that I'm missing out on, this is an offense I'm totally fine missing out on.
Yep.
And I think that's what we have to remember, is that we're very good at predicting offenses. Well, I don't even know what I would say. Like, 20% chance this is an above average offense, maybe less. I think there's almost no shot.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't like it. I'm with you. I think Mooney could have a really good year this year. I'm actually expecting him to have a fantastic season. But that team is going to be bad. And they just lost Akeem Hicks today. And I know he was a free agent, but they didn't bring him back. Defense has gotten worse. They've done nothing to help Justin Fields out. Oh, excuse me. They did. They brought in Byron Pringle and Equanimee St. Brown. That's going to do the trick. No, under for the Bears.
All right, let's move on now. So that was the North. Let's go to the NFC East. I'm sure you're not biased out there in Texas.
No.
Who do you think the Vegas experts out there believe is winning this NFC East division?
Yeah, I'm very objective. No bias whatsoever. The fact that I live in Dallas means nothing. But the Cowboys should be. Win the division.
Yeah, the Cowboys, they're coming in at 10.5. So that's the highest one there. Mm-hmm. And yeah, what are you thinking about the Cowboys? 10.5.
I like it. I think it's a good number for Dallas. I think it's right on the money. I think I would take the under. I think they'll be right at 10 wins. I don't think they'll have 11 wins. I think they're right at 10-7 at the end of the season. They're right there at 10-7.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. I I think this is a team where things could fall apart on them potentially. I think there's just a lot of ways things fall apart. I still think they're going to be a fine team. It's not a great division still. But I think my worries are, I think Amari Cooper is much more valuable in a real football sense than many people realize. Having elite separators versus man coverage matters.
Yeah.
And CeeDee Lamb, maybe he'll end up taking that year three leap, but we have yet to see him be a total standout, get open at will against man coverage. He's been much better against zone. Michael Gallup, I don't know if he's starting the season on PUP or not. So I think there's just a lot of concerns with the passing game. I think the running back's going to be fine. I think Zeke and Pollard should do just fine. But I do have questions about this pass game overall. There's just a lack of weaponry. Dak just hasn't quite taken that consistent step forward that I think we'd like from a quarterback where maybe for the first time in several years he doesn't have a top five skill position group around him. I think Dak is one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL, but I don't think he's in that quite elite tier where you can just give him anything and he can work with it. And I know that one of the flukier things year to year is defense. The Cowboys had a crazy defense last year, so it's probably going to most likely going to be worse this year. I still think they have a good enough defense, but I just think there's enough going on from last year that, yeah, I would take the under here. Where are you at with the Cowboys in fantasy? Since, for me at least, I still want some of these Cowboys because of play volume. Yeah. The one consistent thing has been this team's giving you 1,100 run and pass plays combined year after year. They're basically top five in plays run every single season. So I think in that sense, it's a safe bet. Just even though I don't necessarily love some of these ADPs, I think there's going to be enough targets, rush attempts to go around that I think it's okay still drafting Cowboys, even if we think the team takes kind of a decent step back potentially.
Yeah, I want CeeDee Lamb. I want Dak Prescott. I want Zeke Elliott. I want Dalton Schultz. I want, Tony Pollard to a certain degree. I think the offense will be fine, to be honest with you. I think the offense is going to be fine. I agree with you. Losing Amari Cooper is a much bigger deal than most people realize, but they will have a full offseason training program to acclimate without him. So I think that impact Larkey is felt more on a football field when players are acquired or lost in season, opposed to when they're acquired or lost like in the off season where you can adjust. So while you could tell there was a noticeable difference when Amari Cooper was absent from that offense during the season, but you got to understand those game plans were built around him being a part of the offense. So not having him the entire offseason program through training camp, through OTAs, I think they will have time to adjust and they will figure it out. So I'm not as concerned about losing Cooper now and having the full offseason to integrate other players and elevate Dalton Schultz and CeeDee Lamb, who should be the two biggest beneficiaries of Amari Cooper not being around.
Yeah, I think you want Lamb and Schultz on your fantasy teams because they to me, I think they look like just they are the clear two best passing options right now. And we know they're going to throw the ball 650 times like they have year after year after year. Even if I don't think that Lamb is quite the super elite receiver tier, even if I don't think that Schultz in a vacuum is an elite tight end, I would be really surprised if they don't run an incredibly fast-paced offense once again. They've done it over and over. So I think those are both good players to target. All right, next in the division is the Eagles, whose win total started off at 8.5. It has recently risen to 9.5. People like the Eagles. Where are you at? 9.5.
Whew. I've got the over, and I've got Dallas edging them out for the division win. Because I think Dallas will beat Philadelphia. They'll own the tiebreaker over those two, but I think they're going to be right at 10 wins. I love the additions that they made in the draft with N'Kobe Dean and Jordan Davis. In fact, when you bring in AJ Brown, Zach Ertz is out of the way. So Goddard can be the guy from the jump. I think Jalen Hurts takes a step forward. I think they get 10 wins, man. I think they're a 10 win team.
Yeah. I think they're at least a 10 win team. This is an over that even at, so 8.5, I thought it was kind of ridiculous. Even 9.5, I'm still smashing this over. My kind of hot take is that they win the division and they get to 11 wins or 10 wins and that they have the tiebreaker over the Cowboys. I think that overall, top to bottom, it's a better team outside of quarterback. But I think that there's a lot of worlds where I think Jalen Hurts takes some type of step forward this year. I think you pretty much have to. Another year as a starter. It'll be a second full season, his second real training camp as the starter. And then on top of that, you get A.J. Brown. So I think that there's a lot of paths for the Eagles where they've really built up this defense. They even just added James Bradbury at cornerback. They've done a lot. So I think this is my sneaky division winner. And I think in fantasy, though, I still have a tough time getting too excited about anyone other than Jalen Hurts. And, I mean, Miles Sanders goes so late. So I think he's an interesting starting running back on a run-first team where, for some reason, Jordan Howard and Boston Scott combined for like 15 or something rushing touchdowns, and Sanders had none. So I think there's a lot of regression coming there for Sanders. But I think overall, like, this is the Jalen Hurts show. He's going to be running the ball 9 times a game. I think it's going to be a very functional offense. It was even a functional offense last year. So I think it's actually going to be an above average scoring offense. I just get worried because I don't think there's going to be a lot of pass volume. So
yeah,
this is one where it's not like I absolutely hate A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith as players, but when I'm looking at this team, I kind of just want Jalen Hurts on my fantasy squad.
It's fair. I think my opinion, and I'll be brief, I think they're going to air that bitch out, Larky. I think Jalen Hurts, and the reason why I think that is because they need to find out. I think they're going to let him throw the ball early and often to find out, can he be a guy that can win games from the pocket? Can he be a guy with improved weapons? Like, they cannot go into next offseason with these question marks. Like, well, what if he can? Or I don't know. And he needs some, I think they're going to let him do it. And he's either going to sink or swim with those weapons. And regardless if it's Jalen Hurts or Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud or Anthony Richardson or whoever they draft in 2023, if they go that route, it's a hell of a core to walk into with those weapons around them. So I think they're going to let them. I think they're going to let them air it out. I do. I think they're going to let them air it out with these weapons. This is just on paper so much better than, you know, Rager and Arcega Whiteside and Quez Watkins being out there more than they need to, Greg Ward. So I think they're going to throw a lot. So we'll see.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, at the very least, it's going to be a very fun offense. I like that idea of the sneaky upside case where they're like, hey, we need to see if you're our guy for 2023. Let's throw the ball 35 times a game. Next up, we'll go to the Commanders. 7.5. Do you have any strong Commanders takes?
No. I think they're going to be bad, and I'm going to take the under. I think they're like a 7-win team, 6-7 win team.
Yeah, that's where I put them in my win totals bucket. I had like a 6-7 wins bucket. I had them in there. A lot of people have said that Wentz is an upgrade on Heinicke, which I agree with. But I think everyone else in the division got a decent bit better. And I just don't know if they did enough to keep pace. And I just feel like in this league, do you really want to build around Wentz? I don't know. It's just not an offense I'm super excited about. I think McLaurin looks fine, where he's just once again going to get some type of volume. But again, like outside of best ball, it's going to be, I think he could be tough to know when to start. So I think this is just an offense where overall I'm avoiding it. And then I actually don't know where you're at on Gibson. I have fully faded Antonio Gibson at this point because I don't like that JD McKissick and Brian Robinson are both going to do something on game days. Very hard to be an elite running back. And even if you're getting the good stuff, for the most part, you're getting some goal line touches. He's going to get some targets on first or second down, but like McKissick's going to get targeted. I think Brian Robinson can probably get some goal line carries. I don't know. For me, I'm like, Antonio Gibson is 2 injuries away from being a league winner. And even if he goes in the 5th round now instead of the 2nd round like last year, that's just not a profile I like. Again, we're better at these higher level takes than individual player takes. And high level, do I want a 5th round 3-way committee back? No, I do not.
Oh man, Antonio Gibson, you're killing me, man. I've caped up for him as hard and as for as long as I can. I'm exhausted. I'm just tired. If he's gonna stink, then fuck it. Whatever. I don't know, man. Larky, this is rough, man. I don't know. I want to be like, yeah, man, he's going to be fine. Like, it's Brian Robinson. Who cares? It's J.D. McKissic. Who cares? Clearly, Washington cares, and that's all that matters. They care. And I believe Antonio Gibson over the past 2 years leads the NFL in fumbles as well. This could very well end very bad for Antonio Gibson. So I'm not saying I'm full fade, but I am on notice. My antennas are up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is coming from someone who loved Gibson last year. I mean, I have so much Antonio Gibson in Dynasty, which really sucks when they made the Brian Robinson. Like, when they re-signed McKissic and made the Brian Robinson pick, I was like, these are just gut punches right now. So I think it's tough. We'll move on to something maybe a little more exciting, which is the New York Giants. They now have the Bills coaching staff. They poached a few of them. They're at 7.5 as well. Where are you at with the Giants? I think so. They were completely unwatchable last year.
They're at what? 7.5?
Yeah.
No, man. Are we still in the NFC East? How many teams are in this division? No. They're not getting 7.5 wins, Larky. You know it. I know it. The world knows it. Don't talk yourself into an over here.
Yeah, so I had them in the 6-7 win bucket when I did this exercise last week. I'm sticking with it. I take the under. I think they're going to be better than last year. But, I mean, it's pretty much nowhere to go but up after last season. I think in terms of the Giants, I don't know. I think in best ball I look and I'm like, yeah, there's a lot of guys that look kind of undervalued just because they're all so cheap. But I think in a redraft managed league, outside of Saquon and maybe Kadarius Toney, I'm not trying to take too many shots. Hard to see Galladay winning your league. It's hard to see. I don't know. I don't want to be too invested in this offense. It's still the Daniel Jones offense. I think it's I think they're actually a better in best ball offense, since I think week to week you're going to be pretty pissed off if you're starting Giants.
Yeah. Yep. For sure. I'm with you.
All right, let's move on to the third division, the NFC South. Who do you think is going to win the NFC
Man,
South?
It's the GOAT himself, Tom Brady, baby.
Yeah, this is probably the easiest one of the show potentially. Yeah, the Buccaneers are at 11.5. They're pretty big favorites to win. What do you think on 11.5?
South Brady. I like the over on that one. I would take the over on Brady and the Bucks at 11.5.
I would as well. Yeah, they won 13 last year. This offense looks pretty much the same. Defense looks pretty much the same for the most part. I think Gronk's going to return. Yeah. I don't think we need to spend too much time on this. If you're in the same boat I am, I think you just want Buccaneers on your roster. They led the NFL in pass attempts last year. I think they're going to do the same thing again. Cool.
Yep.
All right, let's move on to the next team. So it'd be the Saints. The Saints are an interesting one. They've made moves almost like they think that they are a true Super Bowl contender. The trade up for Chris Olave, which cost them a future first. They bring in Jarvis Landry. They've weirdly committed to Jameis Winston on a pretty inexpensive quarterback contract. So kind of a potentially like unique competitive advantage if you can get average quarterback play from a cheap veteran. So I think it's a potentially interesting strategy more teams might pursue down the line. So I'm looking, I see them at 7.5 on this sheet. I could have sworn they were at 8.5. I need to check another place now. Let me pull up that other DraftKings link.
I'm looking. Let me,
7.5 feel, I thought they were at 8.5.
DK's got them at 8 on the dot. 8.
Interesting. 8 just on the dot. Okay, 8. So they really are this middle of the road team. Well, I think people are probably already realizing where I'm at with the Saints. What do you think of?
Yeah, you want the over, and I get it, but I think the concerns, maybe this number dropped after the Jameis Winston still has a noticeable limp when that report surfaced, because if Winston's not right, that team's not winning. And even if Winston's right, that's going to be an interesting team to watch. I think they've got a great defense. They've got fantastic weapons on offense with Alvin Kamara. Michael Thomas's ankle can get better. But right now, if you're telling me 8 wins is the total, that's what Vegas is saying. They'll get you 8. I don't know if I could go 8.5 and take the over and feel good, but I'll let you take it. I don't know, man. I'm a little less confident in that situation, man. With Dennis Allen at head coach, a hobbled Winston, a hobbled MT. I don't know, man. I don't know.
So I think they're going to win 9 or 10. And my thinking behind that is I think it's a very good defense on paper. It's a very good skill position group on paper. I think Jameis Winston showed that he's good enough to kind of command the ship and play whatever that play like a new style of football for him. And then rather than the just totally air it out in the Bruce Arians offense in Tampa Bay, that he's LASIK Jameis is a little bit more conservative. I don't know if this is going to be the most exciting team for fantasy necessarily, but I think they will be a good NFL team. And also in the division are the Panthers and the Falcons. So that was another reason why I think that feels like four gifted wins to them. And they've been a thorn in the side of the Buccaneers for the last few seasons. I think Sean Payton, the loss hurts. But I think if Winston starts week one, I think this is going to be a pretty good offense. And I think that it is an interesting offense to target some of these receivers. Because I really don't think we know exactly what they're going to do with Winston. Whether it's going to be crazy run heavy like last year, or if they're going to let him go somewhere in between, like the hybrid of what he was in Tampa Bay and what he was in New Orleans. The other thing is this Kamara suspension, I think, is potentially sneaky good for Winston and these passing weapons where they go, oh my God, we're losing Kamara for the first 4-6 weeks. Time to air it out. You do not really want Mark Ingram getting a ton of touches. So I think it's an offense where I want to have some investment in the passing game. I think they will be good enough. And I think they're just going to beat up on some of these other teams in the NFC.
All right.
Next, we'll go to the Carolina Panthers. This is where it gets sad. So the Panthers are at 5.5. And you know what? We're just going to joint do it with the Falcons, who are at 4.5. We can take these two really lowly teams together. Panthers, Falcons.
Under. These are bad teams. Carolina's trying to. They're bad. They're bad teams. I'm not taking an over on either of those teams.
Yeah, I would take these unders from Carolina. I like Christian McCaffrey. He's the fantasy points god when healthy. I am not taking the pass catchers once again. The fade worked last year. Where I said I get it. DJ Moore is an insane wide receiver talent. Do you realize he's catching the ball from Sam Darnold? What happened? I mean, I get that Robbie Anderson goes late and he's going to get some targets, but again, it's Sam Darnold. The potential for this offense, I think there's just no ceiling here. I think the floor is embarrassingly low. And then with the Falcons, I think Drake London could be fine, but I mostly just want Kyle Pitts.
Pitts, yeah.
Yeah, I think that is the play. I'm not as interested in Patterson or Algier or any of these other ancillary options. Bryan Edwards, no. I think Kyle Pitts is the only safe option with a ceiling in that offense for this year.
Yes.
So, yeah. You do not want to be heavily exposed to these teams.
You don't want Terrace Marshall this year? Little Terrace?
No, not after last season. Okay. The rookie year to me, you know what it smelled like? And I think I've found my type, which is no longer going to be my type. It smelled like Bryan Edwards. Bryan Edwards has like the 100-yard rookie season. I think Marshall will take a step forward. I think Edwards had 500 or 600 receiving yards last year. I think that could very well be the case for Marshall. But again, are you ever starting that player in fantasy? Even if he gives you 500 yards and like 2 touchdowns because it's Sam Darnold. Yes. I don't want this.
Yes. We're on the same page, Larky.
All right, well, let's move on now to the NFC West. Probably the most exciting division in the NFC. And probably the hardest one, potentially, for you to pin down who the win total leader is.
It's got to be the Rams. They're the Super Bowl champs. They've got to be the favorite to win the division.
It is. Yeah, I wanted to make you question it and see if
I did. I was like, there's no way the Niners. No way the Cardinals. It's got to be the defending champs.
I just wanted to see if the wheels would turn, but no, you stayed on the scent. You got the kill. Congratulations. Yeah, so the Rams, 10.5 for the win total. They won Super Bowl last year, and they won 12 games last year, 10.5.
I think I like the over for the Rams. Over. I'm doing your TikTok. Over. You got to watch the
over.
You got to watch. Yeah, there is the over. Yeah, I'm taking the over for the Rams.
Yeah, I take the over on the Rams too. This is an offense. I want the pieces. I like Akers if he ends up being the starting running back. I think Stafford is a good kind of, if you're in redraft and you need a kind of a later quarterback, he's going to be available a little later. I think he threw for 40 touchdowns last year. He could do it again. I like Kupp. I like Robinson. I think this is a very good offense to invest in because it's very consolidated in addition to being good. If you told me that Stafford throws for 40 touchdowns, I already know that Kupp and Robinson are smashing at ADP. There's not going to be like some random guy coming out of nowhere who's like, oh, look, where did this guy come from? So to me, that's what I like is I just want Kupp and Robinson on my fantasy teams.
Yes. Yes. Give me all the Kupp. Give me all the A-Rob. All of them. All of it.
Off topic, actually, because I didn't know the answer to this beforehand. Do you know who's older between Kupp and Robinson?
Oh, it's Cooper Kupp.
That surprised me. I would have guessed Robinson. Cooper Kupp is older. And I thought that was kind of funny because Robinson's been in the league so long since I think Kupp entered the league as like a 24-year-old rookie. So yeah, that shocked me a little bit. I was like, oh, hey, wow.
Kupp's pushing damn near 30, isn't he?
I think he's 29 this season. And I think Robinson will be 29, but like he'll have just turned 29. So
yeah, Kupp will be, man. Isn't it crazy? It does not feel like Cooper Kupp's been in the NFL that long. Turns 29 in 15 days, Larky. 2 weeks, he'll be 29.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. Ugh. Oh, man. And this was by far his best year. Like, by far. If Matt Stafford was able to do this for Cooper Kupp, my word. Allen Robinson, I can't wait till you let the people know what your projection totals for him, what that looks like this year. Cause we should have two 1200 yard receivers, and that's not uncommon. This has happened before it's not like Allen Robinson should be a 1200 plus yard receiver this year. Should 1100, 1200 yard floor for A-Rob this year with massive touchdown upside and a good offense. This should be just fantasy gold. And if you have the Cooper, and you can do it at value, if you have the Cooper Kupp, Matthew Stafford, Allen Robinson stack, oh baby, just reel in those championships in 2022.
100%. Yeah, there's gonna be these cool little badges in my best ball guide for players I'm targeting and fading. That way, if you're just quick scrolling through the rankings and descriptions, you can see a little green like target symbol. Allen Robinson has that symbol. This is a player that you want in all formats. I think he's gonna have a very good year.
Yeah.
So I'm with you. Let's move on to the next team in this division. And it's actually two teams. We have them both neck and neck. It's the dichotomy. The Cardinals are at 9.5. And the 49ers are at 9.5.
49ers over, Cardinals under. I think the Cardinals are a 9-win team. And I'd give Frisco with Trey Lance right around 10 wins. I think that's how it's going to shape out. I think San Francisco is going to be second in that division, Arizona third, and Seattle fourth. And I'm going to take the under on Arizona and the over on San Francisco.
Interesting. I think these both look like 9-win teams.
Okay.
So I think I feel like it's weird though to take the two unders here. I don't know. I guess I'm projecting just a lot of wins for the Rams, but I don't think either team looks as good as last year. So I think my fear with the Cardinals, they don't have Hopkins for the first six games.
Yep.
Kyler Murray has just been a very different quarterback when he doesn't have Hopkins. And when you extend Zach Ertz and James Conner, two players kind of in the twilight of their careers, that is not a very good team building exercise. So I actually don't think this is going to be a great offense. However, kind of like the Cowboys, where I'm a little hesitant at times, I still want to draft Cardinals in fantasy because even if the offense is, I don't think they'll be bad. I think they'll be average or good. But with Cliff Kingsbury, it's been super fast paced. So for me, that's why I still go, you know what? Even if I don't think this is going to be a great offense, I think it's the combo of even if I think it's average, if it's an average offense, but I know that there's going to be a ton of volume, that puts it into the above average tier. So the Cardinals, they get the thumbs up from me. I want some Cardinals. I want some Marquise Brown.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I think they're under San Francisco. I think Trey Lance is going to be really good. I think he's going to bring a dimension to that offense that they quite frankly haven't had since I don't know when, since Colin Kaepernick was there. That type of pressure that a player like Lance can put on defenses, I think they're right around 9 or 10 wins. I think it's a good line. They always give the 49. They always give the Rams trouble. Like that, it's just it's Sean McVay's kryptonite. They finally beat him. I think they beat him once this year, and that was like a big deal. Like Sean McVay finally beats the 49ers, but it wasn't like some teams just play teams well. And I think if I had to say it today, where we are on May 31st, 2022, I'd take the over, but I wouldn't be shocked if they were a 9-win team either at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they both kind of look like 9-win teams, but I think over top to bottom, I do think the 49ers are a touch better than the Cardinals. My fear is, so I think Trey Lance is going to be awesome for fantasy football because he runs, but this is not a passing offense that I want a part of.
Yeah.
I think Ayuk, Debo, Kittle, we could see 100, 150 fewer pass attempts this year than last year. And at least with Lance, I think I'm a little more bearish on him in terms of real NFL. My worry with him is he's essentially played one season as a starter at the college or higher level ever. And that was at North Dakota State. So that right there is what gives me pause. I think he's very toolsy. He could end up making me look silly for ever questioning him. But I think that there's a lot of ways that this offense can just struggle overall. So I think it's probably like... I think it's an offense where you want the quarterback, you want the running backs. I think they're going to score touchdowns. I just really, really have a hard time investing in the unproven mobile quarterbacks, pass catchers.
I'm with you. And if I were going to invest in one of them, what's the security blanket for a young quarterback? It's the tight end. Like I'd want Kittle if I had to get one. I'd want Kittle over Debo. I'm nervous about Ayuk. I know he played well towards. It's funny, wasn't it you that told me he out-targeted Debo Samuel the back half of the season? Like the second half of the season, Ayuk had more damn targets than Debo Samuel. So I'm with you. I think it's going to be some growing pains there, but I think the dynamism that Lance, I think he's going to be good. I think it's going to work out long-term. I think the issue is we want Lance to come in and hit immediately when the reality is he is a one-year starter at an FCS school who didn't really play last year. I think this is more of I don't think it's a this year thing with Trey Lance. I think it's like this year, get him acclimated. It's almost like Jalen Hurts, but with a delayed start. Like, I don't think it's going to be until like next season where we really see like, is Trey Lance going to be that dude? I think we'll see flashes. I think we're going to see some very good from Lance this year and some very bad. But I think it's going to be that 2023 season where it's like make or break for all those damn guys in 2021.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you there. All right, the last team.
This under. Is... I don't even. It's Seattle. Under. Whatever it is, it's under. What is the line? Five and a half.
Yeah, you nailed it. Under. Yep, I'm with you. I think they're going to win 3, 4, 5 games. It's terrible. And I just don't want a single player on this offense. I don't want DK Metcalf. I don't want Tyler Lockett. I don't want Kenneth Walker. I do not want Rashad Penny. I do not want Noah Fant. There is not a single player here that I could tell people to invest in for redraft. I think it's one of the few just you need to avoid this offense. It's a archaic play calling from Pete Carroll, and they no longer have Russ. I think Russ has bailed Pete Carroll out. I think he's Pete Carroll owes all his millions to Russell Wilson. At this point, I think it's just ridiculous. Is there a single Seahawk you want? Because I'm comfortable just taking them entirely off my draft board unless their ADPs drop another few rounds.
I mean, I kind of want DK, but I know that's the worst process with Geno Smith and fucking Drew Lock throwing him the ball. So what the hell? I'll say no. I don't want him. No Seahawks.
That's the NFC. Let's move on to the AFC. We'll start in the AFC North. Who do you think is favored to win the AFC North? This is a good one. Oh, also, actually, let me state for everyone listening, the Browns do not have a win total.
Okay.
It's because the Deshaun Watson case has yet to be resolved, and it seems like I think the NFL said next week they're going to announce if there's a suspension, what it will be. So we do not have the Browns, so we're just going to be looking at the Ravens, Bengals, and Steelers.
But I can tell you without even seeing it, they would not be favored to win this division. I'm going to say it's Cincinnati, but Baltimore's got to be right there behind them.
So it's funny you say that because they're actually tied at 9.5.
Yes. Okay.
So yeah, I think they look very, very similar on paper. You want to go, you want to do them both at once? You want to go one first?
I think if I had to bet right now, I would think Baltimore wins the division. I think they'd be over 9.5, and I would take Cincinnati under 9.5, right at 9 wins.
Whoa, that is bold.
I know. If I had to say it right now, I think Baltimore wins the division. Cincinnati is a playoff team. I'm not putting them in there. They're a wild card team, but I don't think they're a 10-11 win team, man. I don't. Not yet. Great bounces their way. Great play last year. I'm not ready to crown them. Not 11 wins, 10, maybe 10. I think they're right at 9 wins. I think they're a 9 win team.
So they won 10 last year. So you think they take a tiny step back?
Just a tiny. I don't even want to say it's them taking a step back, but the Browns being better with assuming Watson plays, Lamar Jackson, you know, and that defense getting, I mean, they were decimated, the Ravens, and they had a hell of a draft. So it's not even, and it's, this isn't so much of Cincinnati is so bad. They take a step back, but I mean, Pittsburgh, that Ben Roethlisberger was cooked last year. Baltimore decimated with injuries, Cleveland horrible. So just the division is better. The players are better. That's where I'm at.
Yeah. So I think I would take both overs. I think they're two really strong teams. I might give the lean to the Ravens like you. It just feels weird to bet against Burrow, Chase, Higgins on offense, what they can do there. But that's a tough one. Yeah, I think the Ravens may be the most improved team in the NFL from last year to this year just because of having players healthy. They were basically missing their quarterback and an entire defense last year and still almost made the playoffs, which is kind of crazy. In terms of offenses to invest in, I think you have to invest in the Bengals. I think Burrow, Chase, Higgins is kind of where you want to put your money. You could sprinkle in Boyd if you wanted. And then with the Ravens, I think you want exposure to Lamar, Bateman, and Andrews. It's going to be consolidated. I think they're going to score points. Is there anyone else that you're super excited about there? I mostly just want parts of these pass. So I want the Bengals pass attack with the Ravens. I'm less concerned about stacking them. Like I think I want Bateman and Andrews because they're going to score points. I'm not quite sure if they're going to correlate heavily with Lamar because of his rushing, but I think just in general, these are offenses that you want a piece of.
Yep. And listen, you didn't say his name, but I'm still mildly interested in J.K. Dobbins. I think some people have jumped the shark on him a tad bit, seeing him keep trade cut. People have him as RB10, RB9 in Dynasty. I wouldn't go that far, but are they going to run the ball? It's a run-first offense. And like you said, target consolidation of two receivers. So somebody's got to run the ball. I think J.K. Dobbins is going to have a lot of opportunity on the ground. So he'd be another one of the guys that I'm still interested in.
I think for me, Dobbins is a 2023 play. I'm just a little worried about the ACL. And I think Gus Edwards will be there this year. I think next year, no more Gus Edwards potentially. I think that's, and the full year removed from the ACL. We just saw Barkley. It took him a little time to get up to speed. Yes, I know he sprained his ankle or like rolled his ankle right as he finally looked like himself. But with Dobbins, I just get a little worried that there is that ramp up time. And yeah, we just haven't quite seen Lamar target the running back. But again, I'm not fading Dobbins like I was in prior years with this type of player, since I think he's a good candidate for 15 touchdowns.
Yeah. Just,
it's an offense that you want. Next up, so Browns, I think they're going to win 8 or 9 games. I don't know if we need to spend too much time on this. I think Jacoby Brissett is terrible. And I think Watson is going to be very good in fantasy. But I think that at least for the regular season, it's going to take him a little time, considering he didn't play at all last year, to acclimate with this team. The Browns feel like they're going to be just an absolute juggernaut next year. This year, I think they're going to be kind of average. And like, if they only won six or seven games, that wouldn't surprise me either, where they just can't get out of this hole that they're buried in from the first. I don't know. If Watson suspended six games, they start 1-5 and are just buried.
Well, I think Watson is going to be suspended, and I don't think they're going to be that good this year. I think they're – Watson is out half the season, six-win team, you know. It's a 23 play, so I don't know what the line is going to be at. We'll see. Let's just for the sake of the show, no suspension for Watson. He's there all 17 games. Not having played last year, new offense, what do you think the number will come out at? I think it would be 7.5. 7.5 for the Browns. Because if in the NFC North, if you've got the Ravens at 9.5, the Bengals at 9.5, I think they'd be right around 7.5.
I think they'd probably be 8.5.
Okay.
But I could see 7.5. I think they were a fine team last year with Baker. I'm just not quite sure how good this offense will be, actually, even if Watson plays the whole season. There's just not many pass catchers here. I just think that I don't really want a ton of Amari Cooper. He's been, I mean, he was very good for the Cowboys, but he's also declined a little bit. Still a really good real-life football player, but for fantasy, he doesn't offer that much after the catch. He's not an elite target share guy. I think David Bell could be really good, but I don't think this year he's going to go nuts at all. I don't know. It just feels like another year through the running backs. And these are just, it's just tough to get too invested in grabbing Browns players when it's going to be some type of running back committee gobbling up most of the goal line work, scoring those touchdowns.
Yep.
All right. The final team, the Steelers. Vegas is projecting their first losing season under Mike Tomlin in like 20 years, or first losing season ever for Mike Tomlin. I don't even know. Anyway, they're at 7.5. They have never had a losing season before. Vegas thinks this is the year they have a losing season. Where are you at with this?
I don't think they have a losing season. What's their total at?
So you think they're going to win 9. They're at 7.5.
I think they're going to win 8 games. I think they're going to win 8 games. Yeah, 7.5, I would take the over. Plus 110, I'm getting. Yeah, I'm taking the over. I don't think Kenny Pickett's going to be – can't be worse than Ben Roethlisberger. My word, not last season's version of Ben. Still have fantastic weapons on the offense. You still have T.J. Watt on defense. I would take the over on Pittsburgh.
So I would take the under on this one, but it also feels weird just to bet against history. The offense, weapon-wise, does look good. So, issues I have, they had a minus 55 point differential last year. And they won 9 games, lost 7, tied 1. The point differential was minus 55. And I do think that per play, they should be more efficient. I think Roethlisberger averaged just about 6 yards per attempt the past 2 seasons. He might have been, I mean, that for people who need context, Trevor Lawrence averaged 6 yards per attempt last year. So that's terrible. Roethlisberger for 2 straight years is at 6.2. I think they could be more efficient and still just not be a good offense. I just don't want to be heavily invested in a rookie quarterback. I think the best work I've seen on rookie quarterbacks was J.J. Zacharyson had a study. It was basically like there have never been 2 good fantasy options in a passing game from a rookie quarterback ever. There's never been 2 top 24 options. And there's often just not even a single top 24 option. So for me, I don't really want anyone. I think if I had to choose someone, maybe Deontay is the safest target share. But
yes,
for me at least, so you like the team overall. Do you want to buy into this offense? I think for this year, I'm mostly fading Deontay, Claypool, Freiermuth, Najee Harris. I just don't.
No, Josh. No. You saw that tweet too, and I'm trying to help you, brother. I know you saw
it.
It's
not from that tweet.
It's because he's 244 pounds. Don't worry about it. Stop it. Don't do that. No, tell us why you're fading Najee, or you're a little concerned about Najee.
So with Najee Harris, I'm a little concerned because he had the most touches in the NFL last season, and he was not a difference maker in fantasy football. He was like the RB6 or RB7 per game. I get it. He didn't score a lot of touchdowns until you remember that they're probably not going to score a lot of touchdowns as an offense this year either. And I think he gets fewer targets, which are pretty valuable because Pickett is actually significantly more mobile than Ben Roethlisberger. I think it's just going to be a lower pass attempt offense. I mean, they were top five in pass attempts the past 2 years, even with inefficient Roethlisberger. I think they were just airing it out for the twilight of his career. I think Najee Harris is going to give you 300 rush attempts like last year. Maybe he punches a couple more in. Targets go down. I struggle to see how Najee Harris wins your fantasy league for you. He just looks about the same as last year, and last year didn't quite do it. So why will this year do it?
You're Najee. I know you love you some Travis Etienne. I know this, Larky. But God damn it, I will not stand for this Najee Harris slander on this podcast. He's going to smash. He's a monster. He looks like the Predator, literally in pads. He's going to be fed the ball early and often. I think Kenny Pickett is a much better quarterback at this, even as a rookie. Ben was bad. It was comedy hour with Ben Roethlisberger out there playing football. Literally some of the funniest, if you just want to laugh, just go look up YouTube Ben Roethlisberger bad plays from 2022. You will die of just laughter, right? I think this second season, he was still a rookie. Understand, Najee was still a rookie in the NFL last year. He's going to get better. He's going to improve. And that offense with a young rookie quarterback will be run through the back and the legs and the arms of Najee Harris. So volume, opportunity, improvement of skill. If I had to predict, I think this might be his best season of his career coming up in 2022. I think he might just smash. And then in Dynasty, I'm like, all right, 2 years, all this work, I'd probably be looking to move him. I think he's due for a monster season this year.
So I like Najee Harris from redraft last year. He was going kind of mid to late second round. I would love if he was going there again, but having to spend a mid first round pick for me, just a little bit rich. So that's kind of where I'm at. I think he's going to have a good fantasy season. I don't want to spend quite that high of a pick. So
yeah.
I guess we will find out soon enough on this one, since I think everyone at this point probably has a pretty strong stance on Najee Harris. Moving on to the next division. We're at an hour already somehow. We always seem to go over. We've got three divisions left. We're going to speed through them. We've got the AFC East. Who do you think is projected to win the AFC East? This is not a trick question.
Kansas City.
AFC East.
Oh, AFC East. Buffalo. My mind was already in the West. Buffalo.
Yeah, they're at 11.5. Pretty clear cut division favorite. Yep, I would take the over there.
And I want Allen, Gabe Davis to a certain degree, Stephon Diggs, and in best ball, I think I would like some James Cook as well.
Yeah, I want all these guys. We were talking before the show where I was like, you know what? If I look at last year's misses, it was mainly fading guys where I loved the offense and I just didn't love the cost. Where I didn't love Mike Evans at cost, he ends up smashing in that offense. I think Gabe Davis is a terrible pick at cost. Just for his... looking in a vacuum at a 10% target share guy and back-to-back seasons to start his career, yet I still have, I'm taking some Gabe Davis on my best ball teams because I have just learned too many lessons about these micro player takes. And even if Gabe Davis would be a total outlier to go from kind of a part-time player for his first 2 years and then explode in year three, I love this offense. And that if there was an outlier, it would come from this offense. So yeah, I think we're in agreement. You just want Bills in fantasy. All of them.
Are you just asking real quick, still mildly interested on some Devin Singletary, who was a decent winner from not being replaced by Kenneth Walker or Breece Hall, like a true running back?
Yeah, I mean, if we want to give hot takes for the people that we believe in, I would rather in a vacuum have Devin Singletary over Antonio Gibson for this year. Because
I'm literally, y'all can't see it.
Ray is gone.
I'm fucking leaving. I'm back. Contractually, I got to finish this.
Yeah. For me, it's purely just that Devin Singletary is one injury away to James Cook from being a 20 fantasy point game running back like he was the second half of last year. Gibson is two injuries away from that. So. For me, it is purely just the depth chart. I like Singletary, though. Yeah. I think he's got the standalone value. And if for some reason James Cook, a player neither of us loved as a prospect, ends up being bad, I mean, poof. We already saw what Singletary can do.
Agreed.
All right. Next in this division, so we've got the Dolphins at 8.5 and the Patriots at 8.5. They're both neck and neck right there.
I'm going to take the under on both teams, man. I think they're like seven, eight win teams.
Same.
I'm still on the fence with Tua, and I just don't think New England lost so much. It's not even about Mac Jones. When you lose one of the best cornerbacks in the league, J.C. Jackson, and he goes to L.A., and, you know, you draft Cole Strange and Tyquan Thornton in the first two rounds, you bring in Devontae Parker and do nothing. Like, I don't know what they're doing. Like, the New England Patriots are the fantasy roster that just reaches like 10 rounds in ADP in a draft, and they think they're the smartest guy in the room. You know what I mean? Like, they just continuously reach on players, and they think they're the smartest team in the room, and they just do boneheaded things that make no sense, because no matter how much you love Cole Strange or how much you like Tyquan Thornton, those guys would have been there rounds later. And they could have still gotten those guys without spending that type of draft capital on those players. I think, man, Mac Jones is a fantastic young NFL quarterback, not so much fantasy, but they've done nothing to help him. I think these are 7-8 win teams, and the Bills should just run through this division, just demolish these teams week in and week out.
Yeah, I agree. It's like they found the golden ticket where they don't even have to trade up. Middle of the first round, they're gifted an above-average franchise quarterback. And, yeah, they're not doing this guy any favors. Like, if your big offseason move is that, hey, here's Devontae Parker, they're in trouble. So I'm with you. It's not an offense that I want to invest heavily in. I think Jacoby Myers is probably the safest target option. So I think that just player take-wise, I like him. But still, I'm not going to get too crazy about Myers. This is just not an offense you want. It's going to be very spread out. Dolphins, I kind of think we talked about this last episode, like Waddle versus Hill. I think that my general take on this, it's okay to draft one or the other. I prefer Waddle because he's cheaper, but I think it's a bad offense. I don't really want Gesicki. I'm not interested in these ancillary pieces. I mainly think one of Waddle or Hill is probably going to have a very good fantasy season. Probably not both. I just don't think Tua is the answer here. And I've just been burned too many times betting on an offense that I do not think is going to be very good, getting too invested. So I do not have a whole lot of Tua Tagovailoa in best ball. It's not an offense I'm stacking much of. And no confidence. And then last one is the Jet. Oh, you have another.
No, I was just going to say, I like you saying that you liked Waddle at cost because he's cheaper than Hill. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's just if the guy's a little cheaper, we'll go there since I don't really have a take on who's better. Yeah. I think they're 50-50. Jets, 5.5. They made a lot of upgrades this offseason. They've got Breece Hall. They've got Garrett Wilson. They get Elijah Moore back healthy. They get Corey Davis back healthy. They have two tight ends. They've got Uzama. They've got Tyler Conklin. They even drafted Jeremy Ruckert in the third. Michael Carter is still there as a very good backup running back behind Breece Hall. This is a sick skill position group. It kind of rests on Zach Wilson.
You want me to shock you? I think they're a 6-win team. I would take the over on the Jets.
Same. I penciled them in for 6.
Yeah, I got them at 6. And we do not have each other's show notes. Like, I don't know what Larky has for projected wins, but I like them at 6.
Yeah, I think this is so we've talked before about how we think Wilson's bad. I think that you want some exposure if you're drafting a lot of teams to Jets purely because quarterbacks can make the year two leap. And while I think Wilson was terrible as a rookie and a bad prospect, he is surrounded by an absolutely stacked skill position room. I think you can make the argument this is a top 5 skill player room right now. And for that reason, with what can happen in year two, I think you want a little investment in this. It's not an offense I'm going crazy over where I'm like, oh, I just need all these pieces. But at least for fantasy, I think it's good to take some shots on Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, Elijah Moore, these good young players where if Wilson can hold it together, it could be a pretty good team. So, like, honestly, like, at cost, I'm more in on the Jets than the Dolphins in terms of if I'm going to have to go overweight on one of these stinkier offenses. Like, give me the Jets over the Patriots, over the Dolphins, at least for the fantasy football potential.
Right, right.
All right, we'll go to the next division, second to last division, the AFC South. Notice that I'm saving the most fun division for the end. So all the listeners are going to have to listen to the end if they want the actually most exciting division maybe in NFL history. So we've got the AFC South, one of the least exciting divisions in NFL history. Who do you think is projected to win the AFC South?
Tennessee.
So the Tennessee Titans are currently at 9.5 wins. And that is tied with the Colts at 9.5 wins. Ray right now has total shock on his face. So do you think the Titans are clearly better than the Colts?
No, I don't. I don't.
Because I think the Colts look like they have, maybe this sounds crazy, I think they have by far the best roster in this division.
I think so too. The offensive line, the quarterback upgrade, the running back, the defense, I like it. I like them a lot. I thought the Titans would be favored, but hearing this, I think the Titans are in trouble, honestly. I mean, it is going to – how many carries is Derrick Henry going to get this year? I mean, Vrabel is going to have no choice. But for those of you listening, Derrick Henry, his final season at Alabama, he went back-to-back weeks where he had, I think it was 40-plus carries in back-to-back weeks in college at Alabama. You know, it was the Auburn game. I think he had like 39, 40 carries, and then he turned right back around the next week. And Nick Saban fed him another 35-plus carry. It's just going to be all season, just Derrick Henry. They know his time is coming to an end, and they're probably just like, screw it. We're just going to ride this dude into the dirt. I like Indy. I love Matt Ryan being there. I love Michael Pittman Jr. for 2022. I think Treylon Burks has some potential this year as a rookie, just as a byproduct is there's nobody else there. He's already kind of, you see him catching passes from Tannehill. Derrick Henry's going to be usable. I don't know if I want anybody else from Tennessee besides Derrick Henry and maybe Treylon Burks here or there. But the Colts look good, man. Colts look good.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I think I prefer Burks the most. Henry, I just get worried because I think they are going to force feed him. And I think it's tough for a 28-year-old with a plate in his foot to once again be on pace for 400 something carries. He was on pace to break the NFL touches record. He was gonna have 500 something touches on pace for that, which is just ridiculous. When Najee Harris had like 360 or 370 touches and led the NFL last year, Henry was on pace for over 500. It just blows me away. So that is just, I think Henry could be just fine in fantasy, but it worries me what the volume they're gonna give him for, will he hold up for the full season? Burks, the young talented rookie. I just don't really want Robert Woods, not a big Austin Hooper guy, no Nick Westbrook, I don't like Ryan Tannehill. I just don't think you want to invest in that team. Colts, yeah. I want to invest in this team. I did not like Alec Pierce as a prospect. I am drafting Alec Pierce in best ball, redraft. Matt Ryan's a huge upgrade over Wentz. Even Paris Campbell, I'm going to take some shots on him once again. Obviously Taylor. I think this is just an offense that you do want parts of. I think Matt Ryan, if you're playing in best ball leagues or super flex leagues, that is a sneaky pick. I think he could have a very good season. I think we could look up and go, wow, Matt Ryan had 35 passing touchdowns this past season. I don't think that would be a crazy thing considering Wentz threw for almost 30. And I think Wentz is pretty terrible. So
good analysis.
Yeah. Colts over, Titans under. I think we're in agreement. Yep. Next up would be the Jaguars, I believe. Let me see. Yeah, the Jaguars, 6.5.
Under.
Yeah, so I'm actually, six. I would have thought they would be at like 4.5, 5.5.
Yeah.
They have a really hard schedule. They're going against the AFC West, which are just guaranteed losses. I think they might even be the worst team in their division. I'm still not sure if they're better than Texans. Kind of crazy that they're 6.5. The Texans are 4.5.
Yeah. I mean,
I think you flip a coin in terms of which team is better and worse.
That's what I mean. I almost think I would prefer Houston to go over their number more than I would Jacksonville.
Yeah, I have more faith, at least, that the Texans have a few good players. I think the issue with the Jaguars, there's just not really any blue chip players on this roster. You have Trevor Lawrence, who might end up being a generational prospect. All right, sure, maybe that's the blue chip guy. The other guy, what is it? Travis Etienne is your next best player, but he plays running back. And then Trevon Walker, who was an athletic freak and just never produced in college, which is why for some reason everyone is certain he's going to produce in the NFL, even though he already just didn't produce in college. There's not good players on the Jaguars. That's my big fear with them, is that there's just, you look top to bottom, there's just no good players anywhere.
Yeah, I don't get it, man. And I'm looking on a DraftKings sports book. They have Jacksonville at 6 wins, and it's juiced to the over, -120 to the over.
Yeah, that's a pretty easy fade. Yeah, I mean, if you look at their schedule, this is a rough schedule.
It's very rough. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I would go. So where you are at the Texans? We got Jags under. I would go Texans over. I think they're a 5-1 team.
So 5 wins, they competed, and I like Lovie Smith, so I'll take the Texans over.
All right, folks, you made it. Probably, possibly the most exciting division in NFL history heading into the season, the AFC West. Ray, who do you think is projected to win the AFC West?
I would say the Chiefs are projected to win.
So would it surprise you if there was a tie at the top?
No, it wouldn't.
So which teams would be tied then? The Chiefs and?
Raiders. Broncos.
Chiefs and Broncos. Okay. Would it surprise you if there was actually a three-way tie at the top? So Chiefs, Broncos, are you going Raiders or Chargers for the third team?
Chargers.
That's the right answer.
All right, yes.
The Chiefs, Broncos, and Chargers, I mean, this just shows you how stacked the division is, are all at 10.5. That's very exciting in terms of the potential for where you can go with this one.
I mean,
Over, under, where are you at with those teams?
I'm at is I want fantasy options from all four teams, first of all. Good teams, good offenses. And I ask you the question, we've seen a division get three teams in the playoffs. We just saw that last year. The NFC West get three. Is there even a way possible for a division to get four teams in the playoffs? Like, is that like mathematically possible? Three, we just saw it happen. I'm just truly wondering, is there a way for four teams in a division to make the playoffs mathematically? I don't think so.
Maybe because there's seven teams from each conference, so you could have the four division winners, and then I guess you could have
three wild card teams from one division. I truly don't know if there's precedent for that.
I would have to actually like play the schedule out. I would assume there's a very slim world where for some reason they all kind of go 2-2 against each other in division and then kick ass outside the division and all sneak into the playoffs. I'm sure it's never happened before, but I think if it, this could be the division to do that.
Yeah. I think this is going to be this. I want every game. I hope every game's in prime time. I want to watch them. Even though Kansas City is tied to win it, that's the team where I'm the least confident. Like defensively, they needed a lot of changes. Offensively, losing Tyreek Hill was rough. But you still have Mahomes. I don't know what you want me to say. Like, I don't know where you want me to start, but this division is awesome. I want the quarterbacks. You want all of them in fantasy. The running backs, right? You want those guys in fantasy. The receivers, the tight ends. Best division in football. I think they get three teams into the playoffs, and I would love – wouldn't it be something in our lifetime to see a division get four teams in? I'm pretty sure the odds are like – if there's a bet out there where all four teams from the AFC West to make it, like it's got to be like 100,000 to 1. I'd put $10 on it. Just throw it on there this year. Just throw $10 on it and see.
Yeah, I am totally with you. I've said this on a couple of best ball streams when I've live streamed. I said it's a successful best ball draft when you have some team stacks of some type, and you have 2 to 4 AFC West players on your team. You just don't really want to leave a draft room without any AFC West players. If at all possible and you're deciding between two guys, AFC West should be your tiebreaker. They all play each other twice. There's going to be some very, very high scoring games. We've got the Raiders are in a dome. The Chargers are in a dome. There's just so much good stuff going on here. I'm gonna need your standings prediction, though. So we've got those three at 10.5, and then the Raiders are down at 8.5. So Vegas thinks the Raiders are about 2 wins less than the other three. Who are you going over and under on?
I would take under Kansas City, over Denver, over the Chargers, over the Raiders. So everyone over except Kansas City.
Got it. So for me, I think I would have Kansas City at 10. I would have the Broncos under.
Okay.
I'm still just a little bit worried about what Russ looks like in this offense. I think they're going to be really good. I'm not concerned for fantasy. It's more just real life. There are just so many moving parts. And
I think defensively they're going to be so good, man. I think they're going to, with Surtain taking a step forward, I think they're going to be good defensively, really good. So that's the over for me. And then the weapons, how could he fail with those weapons, Josh? With Sutton, with Judy, with Hamler, with Javonte, with Melvin Gordon, with Albert O. Like, what? In a solid offensive front. Like, he should just be, it should just be surgical for Russell Wilson this year in Denver. My goodness.
Yeah, you just have to invest in these offenses. I don't see any of these offenses being below average. I would actually be shocked if, when you look at how many touchdowns each offense scores at the end of the year, if any of these four teams are outside the top 12 to top 15. I'd be shocked. So I think you want all of them. Do you have a certain player that you just have to draft from this division? For me, it's Darren Waller. I cannot stop drafting Darren Waller. He goes in the fourth round. He looks basically like what a second round tight end should be, where he's going to get 120, 130 targets in a very, very good offense. I don't think Adams really hurts him that much. This is a super high volume pass attack. And I think if anything, Renfro is one that suffers a little bit. Renfro was getting outsnapped and out-targeted by Zay Jones at the end of last year. Waller, he came right back from injury and he just was force-fed 8, 9, 10 targets a game. I think that Adams, if anything, just boosts how many touchdowns Waller can score since defenses can't focus on him. I am just obsessed with drafting Darren Waller. I think he's going to have 22, 23, 24% of the team's targets in a very good offense, and he runs in the 4-4s.
Give me Keenan Allen. I want Keenan Allen. Give me another 100 receptions, another 1,100 yards. I want Keenan Allen. And essentially nobody wanted these 30s. Give me Keenan Allen. I want Keenan Allen with Herbert. Give it to me.
Go out and give it to me.
Oh, you're
I'm so excited. As a Chargers fan, I'm just so excited for this division and for these games. I mean, it's just going to be so fun because we've never seen a division close to this. And I feel like each time we think we have this division, it doesn't quite hold up. Like last year, the NFC West kind of looked like it. But then when you look back at it, you're like, all right, we're getting really excited about Kyler Murray and Jimmy G as two of those quarterbacks.
No.
But this year, it's like the offense with the most question marks might be the Chiefs. Yet, I don't think there's any world where Mahomes and Andy Reid have a bad offense.
Yeah. Because
there's just been so much turnover there with the receivers. I really do not see a path to any of these teams being bad unless the quarterback gets injured.
I mean, I'm so excited. I mean, the Chargers, man. And then their pick of Zion Johnson in the first round to solidify that offensive line for Herbert. And then, you know, I just it's going to be must-see TV. The Chargers and the Raiders last year was just like, oh my God, right? And now we get this, like, it's going to be, and now we're going to have to see Mahomes operate without Tyreek Hill. Like, what's he going to do? You know, let's go, Mahomes. You're the golden boy. They've already inducted you into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. This is going to be awesome, man. This is going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is just why the NFL is the best sport. Yes. Is that you can get stuff like this. There's no other sport where I feel like you could have this kind of division where you truly, it wouldn't surprise you if any of these teams won the division.
Yep.
I can't remember the last time watching any sport where the entire division, I think, has a realistic case to winning that division.
Agreed, so, man. All right, Larky, good stuff, brother.
Yeah, there's a nice long final episode. I think people are going to like it. Win totals. Yeah, it's fun. I think it actually is like a good exercise for people to do. The more research I do into how like spike weeks in best ball just cluster with the good offenses. And that, like, if you just look like in redraft at like the points per game, it's just good offense players often cluster. I think this is actually like a surprisingly good exercise just to be aware of the teams you like and don't like.
I wish we would have, I think we could have truly made this a series if we had more time and just done like did a summer series and we're only looking at one division and really going through like the win totals, teams, and really talking targets, assets, potential opportunity, like gone through each team and been like, who are the locked and loaded studs? Okay, we know that, like, let's just take the Chargers. We know it's Herbert, it's Eckler, it's Mike Williams, it's Keenan Allen. Are there any under the radar players? Like, just one. Then we could have been like, well, Isaiah Spiller, you know, maybe not in redraft, but in dynasty, you know, potential RB2 for the Chargers. Like, I think we could have really stretched this out across, I mean, how many divisions are there? Eight of them, I think.
Yeah, eight divisions. Yeah.
We could have went through eight weeks and just all the way up to the NFL. Like, that would have taken us to training camp.
Yeah, that'd be a fun future series to do at some point.
Like a future series, right?